2X, just so you know. Oh, yeah. It's the wrong, do not adjust your sets. That's not the right. And I'm going to check this just to make sure I didn't get that. It's the right slides. I was a little distracted, as you can imagine, this afternoon.
Yeah.
I saw there was something there, and I thought, well, it must be right. Anyway, onliners, go ahead and send your prayer requests in to bbfohio@protonmail.com. And go ahead. Do your thing there. Janie, raise your hand.
I don't want to give up my job.
Yeah. Raise your hand if you'd like Janie to give you a card. And I guess we got the cameras all set up. My camera crew's here, and then want to check that back there. All right. And there's your reminder to silence your cell phones. A couple more people to come upstairs before we get started. We had pizza fellowship tonight. I'm not going to say much about it, but most of those watching are aware that we had a loss in the BBF family, and Jared has passed away. Like I said, we're not going to give details or anything, but we just want those online who weren't already aware of it. We posted information on MeWe, and it's a sad loss of a young man with a lot of potential. But he made a profession of faith, so we just trust that he's with the Lord. And we'll say more about that offline. We've talked to some of you already tonight here in the Pizza Fellowship. After the study, and we go off live stream, we'll talk more if anybody has any questions or anything at that time. In the meantime, hold your questions and comments for the current events update. Number one, I call the traitorous 10 are down to 4. You know, there were 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump based on complete lies. And so that's what we call them, the traitorous 10. There's a picture of all of them. Kinzinger and at least one or two other ones. I think Gonzalez in Ohio, a great wide receiver for the Ohio State Buckeyes, a complete disappointment as a representative. They said they're not going to run again. It was last night in the primaries. This guy in the middle top, Meyer is his last name. He was primaried and will not be running in November. And so we're down to 4 remaining of the traitorous 10 up in the upper right. The Republican Hillary, named Liz Cheney, is down by about 40 percentage points last I checked. So she's probably going to get beat. What's David Melendale? I'm not sure anything about the remaining 3 other than that. So we'll keep an eye, just playing a little tic-tac-toe here as we watch them fall. Number 2, the woke crowd. We talk about them a good bit. But they're basically godless people with no purpose in life. You can find woke people. Why do I say godless? Well, woke means that you're godless. That's what the word really means. It's not anything new. They just put a new word on it. Woke means you think it's okay to kill babies. Woke is you love Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, woke is you're basically a godless Marxist. You're Darwinian, etc. And so that's just a new name. Brad Pitt shows up to the his new movie called Bullet Train premiere wearing a skirt. Actor Brad Pitt offered a bizarre explanation for why he recently wore a skirt to the bullet train premiere in Berlin, Germany. I'm going to quote him in full here. He said, "I don't know. We're all going to die, so let's mess it up." Well, you know, that's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You know, that's the godless, heathen attitude about life. Jeremiah the prophet described the godless of his own day this way, Jeremiah 18:12. "And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart." That's a definition of woke right there.
Amen.
That is the definition of woke. Walk after the...
That map is one of the places that's hard to see.
If you could lower it just a tidge.
Or move it back or something, because it's hard to see the screen, but I don't know how that got moved anyway. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's better.
Much better.
You're welcome. Anything I can do to make you happy.
Mark
that in your Bible, though. Jeremiah 8:12 is one of the most ignored Bible verses in your Bible, and yet it's describing our generation, this present generation. And we're going to see more and more of this. And all these guys out in Hollywood that play these macho parts in the movies, in real life, a lot of them are queers. I mean, and that's nothing new. You remember Rock Hudson? Perry Mason? What's a guy, Raymond Burr, who played Perry Mason? Gomer Pyle?
Yeah, Neighbors.
Jim Neighbors. Who are some of the other? He even said, who'd you say, Jenny?
Jim Neighbor.
Oh, that's who you said? Was it Clark Gable? They claimed was. Grant Paul and the Waltons?
Well,
so was Grandma. Grandma and Grandpa.
How queer.
Huh?
How queer.
Number three, selection code. I mentioned this before. How many of you remember that? Remember me mentioning this? It's coming up. The Stolen Election documentary premieres in about 2 weeks. It's the work of a fiercely independent journalist named Laura Logan. It's a name I would get to know unless she flip-flops and goes crazy. Right now, she's one of the only real journalists out there. Laura Logan. That's what she looks like. And the movie is called Selection Code. Here's the trailer.
Local criminal investigations into Mason County 13 appears. Alleged voting machine security breaches continue.
If I asked you this question before the 2020 election, are these voting machines secure? I would have said yes. And after the election, I would have said yes. What changed?
Tina Peters admits she brought in a consultant to make a forensic copy of the Dominion voting system in Mesa County.
I continue to think that our voting machines are too vulnerable.
Voting machines in Georgia and Texas switch vote from one candidate to another.
Virtually every machine was broken into.
Ballot recording machines.
Voting machines.
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 Voting machines.
Voting machines.
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 Machines. Which are vulnerable to being hacked.
There's no serious person out there who would suggest somehow that you could even rig America's elections.
We've seen no evidence that any of our voting systems have been tampered with.
The November 3rd election is the most secure.
It's the most secure.
Most secure.
Most secure election in American history, period.
The process is very secretive. These machines are built by private companies, which we don't have a right to know what goes on inside those.
What did you see during the software update? We've uncovered something.
We didn't consider the machine.
The information found there is the Rosetta Stone.
They made a mistake and left the evidence in the machine.
And you can hide it as well.
It's only what the programmer tells it to say.
It's literally like the difference between going from pickpocketing to credit card fraud.
These people are being selected, not elected.
It's about who gets to count the vote.
Break
down my door, terrorize my family.
What do you mean?
Just my mom being handcuffed by the chief of police.
This is not what we do in America.
Let's go!
You could make it all go away, though. You just keep your mouth shut. You could have your life back.
can't unsee what I've seen.
Wow. They had to move it back. It's actually 8:20. So what's the day of the 3rd? So it's in 17 days. SelectionCode.com. Just look it up online. August 20th is when it premieres. And then I think on the 22nd, if you just put in your email address that signs you up for emails, then they send you a free digital copy that you can watch. So I'm not sure what day the 22nd is on, but whatever day that's on. And
it's a Monday.
You can expect an all-out slanderous assault on Laura Logan's reputation in person.
Yep.
So just watch. And I'll say this too before we get in questions and comments. You know, I can only speak for myself. I believe that we're in the last days.
Amen.
Well, if you believe that and you believe the Bible, then that doesn't surprise you. There is a complete global takeover of every level of society.
Amen.
And anybody who looks at what's going on in the world today and denies it is just an idiot.
Yep.
Or a liar. Not everybody's an idiot. Some are liars. But I don't care who it is. Your best friend, your mother, your father, your grandparents, your coworkers, your neighbors, it doesn't matter who it is. If they cannot admit that our public school system is completely run by wicked left-wing sodomites,
yep,
that the National Education Association is controlled by wicked Marxist sodomites, that our news media is controlled by wicked leftist sodomites, that our government agencies are filled with unelected bureaucrats, and no matter who gets elected, most of those people maintain their positions, especially in the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, and in our military now. They're all controlled by leftist, Marxist sodomites.
Yep.
And in entertainment,
yep,
music, you can't even get published if you're not a leftist, Marxist sodomite. And when I say sodomite, it doesn't mean you actually engage in sodomite sex. Romans 1:32 talks about those who have pleasure in them that do them. So you're an ally, is what the country calls you.
Yep.
And that culture calls you. Yeah, John?
Yeah, in 1992, when Bill Clinton was elected, someone showed him there were 6 companies that made electronic voting machines at that time. And that person showed them how to manipulate the 6 companies to put him in office. 2 years later, that guy that showed him how to do it had an airplane crash.
But there's literally dozens of people that are no longer with us who are involved in all that. You can find out. I think they might even talk about that in the selection code when you see it. Brian?
Yeah, speaking of the selection code, I wonder how quickly you're going to get put on the Tennessee watch list for one of the watch list online.
Yeah. Federation. I'm sure I'm on there. All right.
Well,
so. Rigged by Citizens United, 2,000 Mules by Dinesh D'Souza, you know, all that. You get on the line, you talk about it, you download it, whatever you do. There's no doubt in my mind, you know, that we're all been, is a digital Orwellian system in place. It's been 3 or 4 years ago, I showed you the pictures and reports and videos of the massive data storage facilities being built in several places around the world, including Utah, where they are, they have what we call trigabytes, and that there's gigabytes and trigabytes, right? Or what's after trigabytes? Or terabytes. So it's gigabytes, terabytes, and then I don't remember what the next one is. Petabytes. And these storage facilities have so much memory capability, they had to make up a new name that isn't even being used yet. That's how massive these storage facilities are. And they don't, people say, well, they're listening to you. They're not listening to you. They're downloading everything. And it's all your number identifies you with everything you do. There's a number attached to it. And so that if they ever need to find out anything about you, they go in the system, put in your number, up comes everything. That's the purpose of it. And they use terrorism as the excuse. They always do.
You know, it's just the enemy wants to know everything, and it's just a fraud, because God does know everything. God knows every heart, every soul,
yeah.
Every thought.
Yeah, the whole Antichrist system where he can force everyone to buy, sell, or take the mark in order to buy, sell, or trade is a counterfeit omniscience.
That's right. Exactly.
They know everything to an extent.
And that's why it's just, we know what happens in the end.
Amen.
That point is coming.
Amen. All right, let's open Bible study, the word of prayer, and ask you, Brian, would you open Bible study?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for this book that you've given us.
Amen.
The instruction manual that you so lovingly given us, Lord, so that we have all the prophecy that we needed to be able to identify your son when he came. And he was rejected. Lord, every prophecy in this book has either come true or will come true. And you are a completely trustworthy God, Lord, and we love you for that. You are truth. You are light. And we cannot find very much of that in this world right now. And it's on you that we rely completely. That's in your son's name and prayer.
Amen. All right, we're going to line up some readers. This side of the room, we didn't get any last week. Genesis 4 to 7. Going once. John, Hebrews 1:1-3. Janie, Ephesians 4:29-30. Brian, Numbers 3:19-21. All right, now over here to your right wingers. Darren, 2 Peter 3:7-9. I think this is our last one. Might be one more. No, there's one more after this. So we need two more on this side. Olivia. Huh? Yeah. 1 Timothy 1:12-14. And Johnny, 1 Timothy 1:15-17. If something happens, you have to leave, then Charlie will be here to read. Tag teaming it. All right. I still got the wrong thing, so I'm just going to skip it. The title is The Lord Repented. Amos 7:1-9. The Lord repented. We'll see it in our text. The book of Amos closes with visions of the future in these final three chapters. We're coming down to the last three chapters of Amos. Visions of the future. And we're going to read verses 1-9 in Amos 7. I'm going to ask you to read the odd verses with me. So that means you start with me right there in verse 1. Thus hath the Lord... Wait a minute. Are you going to read with me? In a sec? Okay. I guess, well, who am I? You know, I'll wait till you're ready.
I'm sorry.
Amos 7:1-9?
Okay, go ahead.
All right, verse 1, start with me. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Amen? So verse 1 begins saying, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers, etc. I just want to address this because new versions and many teachers will correct the King James Bible and claim that grasshoppers should actually be locusts. Well, that's, you know, it's free country. They can have that opinion if they want, but it's not a statement of fact. Anytime you hear these guys say, well, a better translation would be, you know, just ignore it. But we'll give you some explanations for these things when they come up. Now, I've got a question for you. Would a swarm of grasshoppers do great damage to grasslands? And that's what is described here. Now, there's no historic record of exactly this exact event. So we don't have anybody even in history saying, well, it actually wasn't grasshoppers, it was locusts.
Yeah.
So based on what do they say that grasshoppers should be corrected to locusts? Well, most people you hear say that just because they read it in a new version. That's what they base it on. And that's not a good reason. But here's just a little scientific information to back up what the King James Bible says here. This is from Medowaya, I pronounce that. Well, close is a close up. That's what a grasshopper looks like, by the way. And here's the statement. Grasshoppers are predominantly herbivores, though some will eat other insects and feces. When given a chance, grass is a significant component of most grasshopper diets, though many will also eat flowers or other vegetation. So I ask you, if one grasshopper will eat grass, what will a million do?
Eat all the grass.
And that's what our text is saying. By the way, if you do look it up in Strong's, it does say that the word translated is like gob, is how you say it. And that word can be and is translated sometimes locust. But it's also translated grasshopper. And so according to Strong's, there's no reason to correct your King James Bible.
Amen.
This word is translated locust or as grasshopper. When your opinion contradicts our King James Bible, we will stick with our Bible. Amen?
Amen.
So with that, we'll just continue on. He formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth, and lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. What that is telling you is that the latter growth, which would normally feed the king's cattle, they had the early and the latter, L-A-T-T-E-R, latter. And the early was used for various other reasons, but the latter growth would feed the cattle. Well, what happens to cattle if they don't eat?
They die.
And what happens to Texas Roadhouse if there are no cattle?
They close.
Those luscious, juicy, medium steaks that I eat.
There's a supply chain issue back then. Right?
Yeah. There's always going to be a supply chain problem when people turn against God. And the Bible says all the nations forget God will be turned into hell. Well, that happens kind of in stages. And one of the stages is you lose access to meat. You go back to the Great Depression era, and there's still some people alive. My grandmother can tell you that it was a real treat to ever have meat during a Great Depression. And that's what he's saying is going to happen here. The loss would devastate the food market. Because when you don't have meat, you also then double up on and triple up on vegetation. Well, if it's destroyed, then you're not going to have either, right?
Yeah.
It's like the teacher says about vegetarians, quit eating my food's food. John?
Yeah. My grandmother, my dad's side, would save the baking grease for the neighbors so they can have a
Yeah, well,
that's how bad it was back then.
And that's we still do that. to put...
We don't give it to the neighbors.
Yeah, we don't share it. But you make, she makes bacon with my eggs and then puts the bacon grease in the green beans.
Oh, amen.
Yeah. Amen. But there are a lot of people who have never done that kind of thing because it's just spoiled and prosperity spoiled them, and so they don't think about that kind of stuff. But we know how to do it because our great aunts and uncles and grandparents and such lived through the Depression, so they just kept doing those kind of things, and so that's where we learned it. So verse 2, and it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. So this is intercessory prayer by Amos. I don't know about you, but I can't stand American culture today. And by relation, I really can't stand most Americans. I love them. I think it's just the way God loves them. God can't stand them. The Bible says He hates people like that. That's what the Bible says. Many times we quoted it. I got a whole article. The God who hates loves you. Why? Because He hates sin. He hates the wicked. Those are the words of the Scriptures. But He also loves everyone enough to come in the person of Jesus Christ and die for their sins, willing to save any one of them who repent. And so that's similar to how I feel that we are justified in feeling about this world. I look at this drag queen story hours and sodomite pride parades. I look at people who are just very nasty, generally. People who run little ladies off the road the way they drive. You name it. I'm disgusted by it. But I'll preach the gospel to them.
Amen.
Why? Not only because God told me to, but, you know, if you love them enough to do that, you love them better than their own best friends. Their own friends are probably not preaching the gospel to them. You're loving them better than their own best friends by telling them how they can repent and believe the gospel and be saved. But there's a good result of that. If they get saved, they'll stop acting that way. Hey, you want to, I believe that, just like the abortion thing, there were a lot of professing Christians who voted for pro-choice people in the past. And I believe a lot of those people became educated on what abortion was and stopped voting for those people. And that helped us get Roe v. Wade overturned. But it didn't happen because of political activism. Righteousness happens when the gospel is preached and people are saved. Less babies will be killed. Pride events will shrink in the number of people in the parades and the people actually there watching it. Everything will dwindle when it comes to wickedness when the gospel is preached and people get saved. Well, that's our role, but it's also our role to be like Amos and pray for these people. That's why we do. You've heard when we do our prayers, we go offline and we go through time of intercessory prayer. We pray for lost souls. Amen? You got somebody, you know what? You ought to think about who do I despise more than anybody? And pray for them. I know if Mark were here, he'd say Joe Biden. And I pray for that man because I despise him.
Amen.
And there's a bunch of those politicians I pray for because I despise them. And man, can you imagine if they get saved? The change. It's like Zacchaeus. The change.
Amen.
And that's what Amos is doing on behalf of Israel in response to this devastation by grasshoppers. Amos is pleading to God for Israel on Israel's behalf. And that's all we can do as the world marches toward destruction. You can pray for them, present the gospel. And that's about it. And that includes your Laodicean professing Christian loved ones. The ones that profess Christ live like the world. You pray for them, lovingly confront them, and then leave it up to them and the Holy Spirit to work on their hearts. Verse 3 then says this. This is one of the most astounding verses in the Bible. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Now, whole segments of theology deny that this can happen. You know, their excuse for a lot of them, they can't figure out, well, how can God be omniscient? Know everything, including the past, present, and future, and then do something and have to repent. And my first answer is, you know, compared to God, your brain is about the size of a flea. So trying to figure out God is a real bad goal in life. If you set your goal to figure out God, you've already gone off the deep end. What we can do is believe what the Bible says about God, and then we try to put it together as best we can. But there are some things, I'm telling you folks, you're not going to understand. He's God. He's beyond our comprehension. Johnny?
I heard it described or something similar. It makes me think of the idea of if you disagree with the smartest man in the world, is it more likely you're the one who's wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. And so you have I know that among Calvinists this is prevalent, where they basically say God doesn't repent, and they'll come up with all kinds of explanations for this. Now, it's all in the context. Context is what matters. We're going to come back to this because it happens again in the next three verses. Verse 4 says, "Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep and did eat up a part." Now, this is both literal and symbolic. It's just the way it works out. There was a great dearth and drought, and that resulted in great fires. We see that today. For the last several years, California just is on fire half the year. Drought and the climate change cult that won't allow them to clean out the old brush and everything. There's a word for undergrowth. And because they don't clear out the undergrowth and the drought dries everything out, they also get as much or more lightning than anyone. And then there's the careless campfires, and then there's the firebugs, you know. But between all those different causes, massive fires take place. Just so happens that California is one of the top three most wicked states in America, and probably one of the top three most wicked areas in the world. So it's no surprise that it happens. And that's what happened here. And so along with that came the fire of God's judgment. A lot of people died. There was a lot of famine, a lot of suffering as a result. Then verse 5 says, "Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small." So again, Amos is praying for them, interceding on their behalf to this time, the devastation by fire. And again, the Lord is merciful. In verse 6, read that with me. "The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God." Now, does the Lord repent? What's the Bible say? So don't hesitate to agree with the Bible, even if every stinking theologian on the planet disagrees with you.
Amen.
Go with the book. Go with the Bible.
Amen.
Now, if they say, well, explain it. I don't have to. There's times where I can and I'll try, but I don't have to. We're Bible what?
Believers.
Because we believe the
Bible.
And that's it. We've learned, some of us have been around a while. Now, some of you are newer to this, but as the time goes on, you're going to find over and over that there's always an answer, even if you don't know it. And B, sometimes the answers you won't know till you get to heaven.
Amen.
But C, there's never a contradiction that can be proven. Never.
Amen. Amen.
I've been for 30 years hearing all these contradictions, and I can tell you one of two things is I can explain it or I can't explain it. But thirdly, they can never actually prove their accusation.
Amen.
And that's it. There's a place out there, I'm going to just go out there now. It's called evilbible.com. And there's a couple other websites like that. And they were making all these accusations. And I was sending these messages to them and saying, well, you're wrong. I mean, this is the explanation. Do you think they ever changed that website?
No.
And they never will. Because they're deceived and they're deceivers. They don't want answers, and they certainly aren't going to tell others that they've been given an answer. And so, before moving to the next verse, we need to discuss this. The Lord repented. That's where I got the title that you didn't see on the title screen. The Lord repented. The Bible defines repentance, and I'm not telling you what the lexicon say. I'm not telling you what the dictionaries say. The Bible itself defines its own terms. Just like if you hear a teacher say something or you whatever, it contradicts the Bible, ignore it. The Bible defines its own terms. I'm going to show you the scriptures. The Bible defines repentance as a change of mind and heart that results in a change of action. Repentance isn't the action, so it's not works. It's a change of mind and heart that results in a change of action. You understand that? Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. This is the Apostle Paul speaking under divine movement, the words breathed by God. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You can see there that there's been a change of heart and mind that results in a change of action. The repentance toward God and the faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We also see it in Acts 26:20, which ends by saying that they should repent and turn to God. See, the turning is not repenting. Repent and turn. Repentance is a change of heart and mind that results in a change of action. Turn to God. See that? So anytime someone says, well, repentance is works, you're dealing with someone who's either ignorant or a liar. Repentance is not works. Repentance, if it's genuine, produces. What happens when you inhale? It produces in with the oxygen and other elements, and out with what?
Carbon dioxide.
Now, is exhaling inhaling? Is carbon dioxide oxygen? That's how repentance works. Repentance changes the heart and mind, and that's kind of inhaling. The exhaling is turning to God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. See how that works? That is taught falsely in the mass majority of churches today. I'm talking probably about 85% of the churches today preach repentance falsely. And they do not give you that definition I just gave you. They will go to a lexicon and they will say that repentance, metanoia. I'd love to say that. Metanoia. You're annoying. No, metanoia.
Thank you.
It just means a change of mind. How many of you have been taught that? My hand's up. I was taught that. How many of you? Anybody here taught that? I don't believe you. I don't think you're paying attention. I think in your other churches you heard it. Change of mind. I'm telling you, that's what every church I was in for years taught it that way. And some of you just didn't pay attention.
Hold on.
Huh? Yeah. Because, you know, they also hardly ever mention it in those churches. So you didn't hear it very often. But repentance is not just change of mind, but that's what they teach. That's what's in the lexicons. So it must be right. That's about as stupid as saying, I read it on the internet, therefore it's true.
Well, they said it on TV.
I saw it on TV.
So,
TV, internet, lexicon, all pretty much about the same trustworthiness. Wikipedia, lexicon, about as accurate. Both of them are about as accurate as one another.
So you're saying then other churches will only teach a half-truth.
Which makes it a whole what?
A whole truth.
A whole lie. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you're going to find out about a lot of things. Scripture with Scripture. God repents, but obviously not of sin. Where's my not?
I don't see a not.
Wow.
Now you're getting I'm the heretic.
Oh,
it pasted a thing there and not the I repeat. God repents, but obviously not of sin.
Amen.
And that, see, this is what they'll say to you when you say, repent and believe the gospel. They say, well, I don't believe you need to repent of sins. Now, some people find it fascinating, if not disgusting, that people will say that. And I'm telling you, the majority of professing, Bible-believing Baptists will tell you that today. I know it because I hear from them all the time. They call me a heretic. And they'll say that when you you don't have to repent to be saved. And then when I'll quote the verses, they'll say, well, you, what I mean is that you repent, but it's not anything more than a change of mind. Now, you see how they did? I'm telling you, this happens over and over. You don't have to repent to be saved. Then you show them the scriptures, Acts 20, 21, you know, Acts 26, 20. The various God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what?
Repentance.
And all these different verses that are making it clear you have to repent to be saved. But so they'll start out by lying to you and saying you don't have to repent to be saved. And they say, well, you don't repent of sins to be saved. Well, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 says Christ died for our
sins.
They'll say you only have to repent of your unbelief. The Bible never says that. And they'll say, well, if repentance means repent of sins, then God would be repenting of sins because God repents. Like, how do you come to that conclusion? God repents of whatever it is the text says he's repenting of, just like you and I have to repent of whatever it is the text is telling us to repent of. And obviously, God does not repent of sin. Who's got Genesis 6, 4 to 7? Jill, I believe. Let Jill read this. Genesis 6, 4 to 7.
There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart.
So the context is God repenting of sin?
Nope.
No.
What's he repenting of?
Making man.
Making man. And that's all there is to it. Why do we need to repent of sin? We need to repent of everything that is between us and God. In order to repent and turn to God, that means everything has kept you from God. You have to repent of it. And that includes unbelief, but it also includes sin and includes anything fill in the blank. God is not a machine. He's a person. And they try to act like it's impossible for God to repent because he's this machine. He's not. He's a person. Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. Who has that? John? Hebrews 1, 1 to 3.
God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person.
Of his what?
His person.
There you go. Keep reading.
And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
God is a person. He's not a machine. God is personable and can be grieved.
Amen.
Can you grieve a machine?
No.
Anybody says yes, we're going to go out and surround Darren's car, and we're going to say really mean things to it and see if it weeps. Because machines don't grieve. Ephesians 4, who's got this? Janie? Ephesians 4, 29 and 30.
Hold on, Janie. Let me get the mic to
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Now, if you read the literature from the Watchtower and Jehovah's Witnesses, you read the literature from the Mormons and the Latter-day Saints, you read the material of almost every cult, they will basically teach you that the Spirit of God is equal to...
May the Force be with you.
Darth Vader?
The Force.
Oh.
And the Spirit of God is not a force. They'll actually use that word in describing it if you read their literature. It's a force, a power, that sort of thing. Can you grieve a force?
No, he's a person and he has all...
Charlie works with electricity. How many times you grieve the electricity you're working with? When it bites you, yeah. See how that works? But taking verses out of context, false teachers deny that the Lord repented, and they basically make God this unpersonable machine of sorts. Yeah. Omniscience, they turn him into an already programmed computer system instead of Father.
Yeah,
who's got numbers three? Brian?
Now,
come on. You got these long delays in between readings is a priority. Even right ways, read. Numbers 3, 19 through 21. You're grieving my person.
And the sons of Kohath by their families, Amram and Izhar, Hebron and Uzziel. And the sons of Merari by their families, Mahli and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites according to the house of their fathers. Of Gershon was the family of the Libnites and the family of the Shemites. These are the families of the Gershonites.
That's not the... text, obviously.
It was a nice reading, though.
Yeah, you read the right thing. You look it up, Jenny. You got your phone ready? The Lord is not a man that he should repent. Anybody else find it, let me know.
Amos?
No, yeah. Numbers.
Oh, sorry.
Numbers 23:19. 23. All right, Brian, you can read Numbers 23.
Looks a lot better. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I receive commandment to bless. I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them.
Now look closely at that text in context. It's not saying that God never repents. The context is that he is not going to repent about his promises. In this case, promises to Israel. You see that? We see numerous places where God says, well, how many of you read Jonah lately? And he sends Jonah to preach to him, and Jonah refuses and gets on a boat, and he ends up being thrown overboard, and the whale swallows him and then barfs him back up on the... And then he goes to Nineveh and preaches, and they repent. Yep. So God withholds his wrath that he said he was going to pour out on them. Why? Because they repented.
Yeah.
They repented of sin. God repented of destroying them. But only for a time. Because I think it was about 50 years later... they turned their backs on God, the whole city went into wickedness, and he ended up destroying them anyway.
What happened with Ahab? Because Ahab stumbled himself and changed.
Yeah. You see over and over where, and Ahab.
Ahab, yeah.
I mean, Ahab and Jezebel. And Ahab was a wicked, wicked man. And then there's a point where God was going to wipe him out, and Ahab repented. That's after he even murdered, Naboth.
No, Naboth.
Was it Naboth?
Yeah.
I thought Naboth was Abigail's. Naboth.
No,
he's
Naboth.
See, we got to get these names right. Naboth was the one that Ahab, his wife Jezebel, had him knocked off. Kind of like Hillary Clinton. Yeah. And Hillary had him killed. I mean, Jezebel had him killed. And then Bill came in and took the vineyard. I mean, Ahab.
Oh. And out west, they took those people's ranches.
Yeah, that was they were called the... the Mormon, our memories
somebody
are terrible.
Finicum got shot.
Yeah, you remember all that going on out west? They took the land from the people.
Yeah, the Bundys.
Bundys, yeah, same sort of thing. But Ahab did all that, and then when he repented, God said, look at him. You remember that? Look at Ahab. How he's...
Look how he's tiptoeing around.
And softened his heart.
Yeah.
And so God still ended up killing him, but he delayed it a while. So the Lord does not lie and will not repent of his promises in this context to the nation of Israel, but any promises God makes. God has said that you're saved.
Amen.
He'll never repent of that. Amen. And God has said he's gone to prepare mansions. No matter what the new versions do, they change it to compartments or whatever, God said mansions.
Amen.
He'll never renege on his promise. So back to our text then. We have God repenting of what? That's the question. And in this context, God is repenting of what he said he would do in result of the wickedness of Israel. It'll still happen, but God gives time and gives more time for repentance on their behalf. And, we're in verse 7 there. It says, thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall. Picture this. The Lord is standing on a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. You getting that? Picture the Lord standing up on a wall. Build that wall. And he's got a plumb. Yeah, I mean, I think I got a picture of it. That's a plumb line. Some of you ever helped at least build a brick wall or anything like that? You use a plumb line. And it's described close. This is a close shot up of what they call a plumb bob. That's another word for it. Hanging with rope. It says rope, but it's rope for measuring level vertical at construction area. It's a way of seeing that something's level. And God's using that. When you see it over and over, the Bible talks about God using measuring rods, scales or weights, and all that sort of thing. God always has a just weight. And he always has a true level. And so quickly, I want to finish this up, but the Lord is making a statement of judgment. He says in verse 8, and the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. See, God has that level and that justice, but there's times where he'll put up with things being a little unlevel and off kilter. He gives them time to get things right, and he says, not anymore. God's mercy and patience is not unconditional, no matter what you've been taught, and is not without limits, no matter what you've been told. Now, as you're a Christian, some people will falsely call that unconditional because he'll never kick you out of the family. That's true. You don't lose your salvation, but he'll deal with you. He'll chastise you. He'll chasten you. He doesn't just put up with everything, and it's not unconditional. And your salvation is conditional. conditioned on you repenting toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing the gospel. So then verse 9 says, "And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." And once it goes, it goes. As in America, we keep having the patience and long-suffering of God, but once it goes, it is going to go. And that's why I believe you don't see America mentioned in the Great Tribulation period and all the efforts to turn the ships of Tarshish and all these other references into America. I think it's hogwash. And I think the reason is because after the rapture, all the Jews leave town with the gold and America crashes and burns. Once it goes, it's going to go. But it doesn't have to be that way for you. It doesn't really have to be that way for America. But it doesn't have to be that way for you. It doesn't have to be that way for anyone you know. J. Vernon McGee says this, "The awful thing, my friend, in rejecting Christ and thus being lost eternally is the fact that you have to do it against a God who is tender-hearted and who is gracious and loving. God loves you. And to sin against that love is an awful, dreadful, and terrible thing." Very well said. Let's close with an emphasis on God's grace toward those who will repent. Who's got 2 Peter 3? Made reference to verse 9 just a moment ago. Darren's going to read 2 Peter 3, 7 through 9.
"But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance."
Amen. Who's got 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 14? Olivia? And just watch, these are all references to God's patience and long suffering that we've all benefited from. Amen. Verses 12 through 14.
"And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus."
Now I'm taking, I think John is going to read in the last one. But look at there while she's walking back there. I don't think a lot of people believe this about Paul, because when they see other people who were blasphemers, persecutors, injurious, come to Christ, they don't believe it.
Yeah.
And Paul said that was true about him. And he says, what? "The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." John 8, 15 through 17.
"This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief."
Amen.
"Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen."
You all say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, next week we'll pick up verse 10 in Amos 7. And everyone stand if you can, and let's sing. Jesus loves me. We'll save it for afterwards. Jesus loves me. All three verses. Jenny, start us so that I don't put you in some wild thing that you can't say.
Jesus loves me. This I know. Yes, Jesus.
Say it again so the mic's on. BBFOhio@protonmail.com. As we say goodbye on three, one, two, three, see you here, there, or in the air.